south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, today we start with an email from Bob in response to the show I did a while back about buying votes here in Latin America. I believe he's in upstate New York. He says, Johnny, so I answered a knock at the door this morning, and I found Republicans on my doorstep. Again. Me, Johnny, here now. By the way, Bob's talking about his neighborhood in the boonies in upstate New York. Anyway, so Bob says, Frank Hermanence is running for supervisor of highways in Lexington. Again. Apparently, he was down with a bum knee and sent out his wife and daughter to do the canvassing. The daughter gave me a Ziploc bag with a postcard. Vote for Frank something something, yada yada. An official Republican pen, and as usual, a Hershey bar. Now, I don't care for Frank. He's a cranky pain in the ass. More importantly, they keep plowing the snow up against my garage door all the time. And if you want to buy my vote, you're going to have to do a little better than a f***ing Hershey bar. It's easy. A pint of chocolate fudge brownie ice cream would probably do the trick. Well, okay, thanks for that, Bob. Now, if you listened a couple of shows ago, you heard me say that in the Dominican Republic, I was right there, Johnny on the spot, watching political canvassers passing out 2,000 peso notes, which is about 20 bucks in U.S. funny money. Hey, you could buy a lot of Hershey bars for 20 bucks. Probably 20, or at least 10. And, of course, I mentioned in a past show I was Johnny on the spot in Guatemala, many times when political organizers were handing out sacks of rice with the candidate's ugly mug on them, and I watched as political jerk-offs in Guatemala were standing at big chicken bus stations handing out pre-boxed Happy Meals. So how much are those things? $3-4? Seems like, according to Bob, up in New York anyway, American votes can be bought for a lot less. Like Bob says, a Hershey bar. Though it's true, in the U.S., even Hershey bars ain't what they used to be. Just check out the ingredients on the label. Then tell me if you really feel like eating one, even if it's free. By the way, Bob's an Expat Insider Seminar alumni. Or is that alumnus? I have to look that up someday. And his email is followed by another Expat Insider alumni, in fact, a repeat offender, Steve. He's up in the States right now with his better half, who also came to the seminar, and he says, Johnny, we really need to get the hell out of here. He's talking about the U.S., of course. Then he says, here's my latest story. So, Johnny, I'm at Wally World, and there's a little boy and a little girl in the cart ahead of me at the checkout stand. The little girl drops her doll and starts to fuss. The little boy picks it up and gives it to his sister. Me, being the nice guy I am, I talk to the boy and tell him he's a good brother. At which point his mother says, does it look like a boy to you? Well, I figured she was correcting me and it was a girl, and I'd blown it. But I couldn't keep my mouth shut, so I said, yes. He does look like a boy. At that point, the mother informed me that it hasn't decided its gender yet. And I looked at her and said, and you, lady, are the problem with society today. Johnny, you can't make this stuff up. I can't wait to get back to Guatemala permanently. Then Steve asks, what VPN do you use on your computer? I was looking at NordVPN, and it looks like they still collect data on you, even if you're using the paid service. Now, I know Proton Mail has a VPN. Just trying to figure out what would work best. Thanks, Johnny, and be careful. Steve. All right, Steve, thanks for that. Yes, Steve, I actually use that Proton VPN myself. I think it costs something like 25 bucks a year. I use it all the time, and it works great. So, Steve, that little Wally World story pretty much says it all, and I guess that's reason 4,264 why anyone with a half a brain really has to consider getting out of Dodge soon. And you know, the best way to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B is to come down to my Expat Insider Seminar. My next one kicks off January 10th and runs through January 16th, 2020. Just go to www.theexpatfiles.com and click on the seminar link or www.theexpatfiles.com/seminar. There you'll find a full seminar explanation, sign-up sheet, and the itinerary. Plus, what you need to know if you're planning on killing two birds with one stone, that is, coming to the seminar at the same time applying for Guatemala residency. Oh, and by the way, I'm getting some inquiries from people asking if I can hook them up with a roommate so they can save $750 off the fee. Because, you see, there's a pretty big discount if you come down as a double, that is two people sharing double occupancy, versus coming down as a single. So for any of you guys and gals out there who are looking to come to the seminar and need a roommate just to save the dough, just shoot me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Explain your situation and we can usually work it out. Now, as far as finding you a roommate, you might be wondering how I set that up. Normally, I hook up the people and they talk by email or Skype or whatever so they can shoot the breeze and find out if they're compatible. And it usually works out just fine. Now, as far as roommates with my seminars anyway, I will set up guys with guys and ladies with ladies. No Heinz 57 gender varieties here. So anyway, at this seminar, we'll be spending a lot of time in the Altiplano of Guatemala, you know, where the temperatures spring like all year round. It's around 5,000 feet above sea level. And then we'll be spending a few days on the Pacific beach coast of El Salvador. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, speaking of reasons to get that plan B going, I got this very interesting email from a millennial I think you'll find rather eye-opening. He brings up a lot of things, including millennials looking to get a plan B. And you know, till I read this email myself, I didn't realize, well, let me read it to you. And I'll paraphrase where necessary. He says, Johnny, I'm a longtime listener and one of those millennials you always make fun of. I don't live in my mom's basement, though. I have a real girlfriend, and I'm not addicted to porn or social media or my iPhone. Well, maybe 2 out of 3. Then he says, Johnny, I've heard you speak many times about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies as the new form of currency. I remember that stuff coming into existence after the huge real estate crash of 2008 and 9, when my own boomer parents got screwed and their house dropped 100 grand in valuation, and now, suddenly, they were upside down in their mortgage. Then he says, personally, I love cryptos. It's a technology that's so intriguing. Of course, if you invested in Bitcoin way back when, in 2008, I think that's when it first started. I never heard of it back then. It seemed like there was no publicity. But I was born in 1996, which would have made me 12 years old. Though I do have a nerdy cousin who's a gamer who talked about it, I think, in 2010. I remember back then, one Thanksgiving, he was talking about it, and everybody looked at him like he was a fool. Some fool. Now he's 30 years old. Owns 4 apartment houses outright and a Camaro. Courtesy of Bitcoin. Yeah, quite the fool, huh? I even remember my boomer dad saying, only criminals use and invest in cryptocurrency. He said, Bitcoin will only be good for dodgy activities. Drugs, money laundering, human trafficking, porno. And you know, for years, I sort of thought that was true. Until finally I realized one day, every time they show a drug bust at an airport or a capture a fishing launch that's loaded with drugs, it's also loaded with cash U.S. dollars. It's obvious the currency of choice for criminals and bad boys is the U.S. dollar. But that's not what the media wanted you to believe. And regarding the news, it seems like they love to print when Bitcoin has a crash. They almost never talk about it when it zooms up. In fact, my homepage is Yahoo News on my computer and my iPhone. And it never fails. Every single day, there's at least one negative story about Bitcoin and cryptos. Then he says, even last week when Bitcoin shot up 40%, the biggest rise it's ever had in history, yet never even hit Yahoo News. But the week before when it dropped 10%, there were 7 or 8 articles that kept scrolling on and off the Yahoo page, all of them predicting dire consequences for the cryptos. It's so obvious that the mass media, owned and controlled by governments, huge corporations and banks, absolutely want to see cryptos crash, burn, and fade away. They've been 11 years in the making now and haven't been snuffed out yet. But us millennials and the generation coming up on our heels, we love technology and we love cryptos. Even though most of us don't have any, we will soon. On top of that, only people with an above-average IQ can fully understand how to buy it, sell it, and hold it. That means at least 50% of humans will always be in the dark and ignorant about it, no matter how they try to understand it. It's kind of like how people think of derivatives. No one knows exactly what they are, what they do, how they were made, how to control them, cash them in, buy them, or practically anything about them at all. But they're out there, they've been around a long time, and it's a $20 trillion market. At least no one I ever talked to understands any of it. I bet only 1,000 people on the whole planet know what a derivative is and can explain it in any kind of satisfactory detail. I think that's as good a comparison to Bitcoin and crypto as any. Derivatives have a $20 trillion market that no one understands. At least when it comes to cryptocurrencies, gamers and nerds know what they're talking about. But ask them about derivatives and they'll shrug and say, I don't know, but the whole thing seems fishy. And that's one of the big differences between crypto and derivatives. There's nothing fishy about the blockchain or crypto. And as I mentioned before, us millennials love technology. We love crypto, but most of us don't even have one single Bitcoin. But thankfully, new and better platforms to use it are coming along weekly. Very cool, safe, and useful platforms too, allowing us to get in and out, convert between cryptos, and make purchases in the real world. We can do things with our crypto now that we didn't even dream about just a year ago. Problem is, 95% of us millennials are cash poor, and 30% of us are living in our mother's basements. You see, technology is the key, though. If you believe in technology and we grew up on it, then you'll invest in technology. You'll want to make a quick buck, and there's no easier way to make a quick buck or a buck in the long term than with cryptocurrencies. But just like people who take a quick course in the stock market or options, you know the type, they're everywhere. Ones with a short attention spans who suck in little bits of knowledge in YouTube and sound bites. Then greed kicks in. That'll be the 90% of people out there who always seem to lose in cards, in games, relationships, the stock market, real estate, and life in general. I found when I'm with a bunch of people, especially millennials, and we talk about real estate, investing, stock, saving money, earning money, the worth of Bitcoin or crypto, we all have diverse opinions about that stuff, but there's one thing we all believe in 100%. That's technology. Even the stock market for us is part of the old boomer world, our parents' world. Then he says, you know, Johnny, it's my belief that future generations are going to hate us millennials because we got bitcoins and crypto on the cheap, just like we hate or at least dislike or are jealous of boomers. Why? Because they got houses on the cheap and real estate on the cheap and college education on the cheap and then somehow put the wheels in motion to ruin it for us. Because whether you realize it or not, for us millennials, housing and real estate are markets we've been cut out of completely. None of us, but the very lucky, can even scrape up a down payment on a house these days. And oddly enough, have you thought about this? We can easily build more houses, at a cost of course, but we can't create any more crypto. They've got limits. Like, for example, Bitcoin, 21 million. That's it. And housing prices keep going up and up and up because ever more money is printed in real or digital form. And it's the same reason university tuition is totally unmanageable. And it's true, Johnny, most of my millennial buddies dislike boomers for, first and foremost, f***ing up the housing market for us. They had their day. They had their opportunity to buy cheap housing, but they took that all away from us. Those days are gone. It's depressing. Can you think of any other American generation that left their children worse off than they were? Aside from outside factors like depression or war. And even after wars and the Great Depression, immediately after, there were boom times like no other. Then he says, thank God for the internet, Johnny. Imagine if the internet did not exist after the great oil crisis in the 1970s in the U.S. Then came the Reagan days and what they call stagflation. Boomers remember that. When all of a sudden the Japanese and the Germans were making much better cars than the Americans ever could. According to my boomer dad, that's when the U.S. started swirling down the toilet, only to be revived completely by the internet. Think of it, Johnny, if not for the internet, right now we'd be living in a third world country, the third world states of America. But the internet and high tech saved us from all that. At least it kicked the can down the road and gave us a big shot of adrenaline. And the next phase is AI, virtual reality, and cryptocurrency, most of which boomers like my parents will never understand. And us millennials and the generation following us, whatever you call them, we definitely are all in. It's true, if we can't call it up, search it, or swap QC codes on our smartphones, we're just not interested. Then I've got my boomer dad saying, put that smartphone down and talk to real live people. He says, you should listen to your boomer elders. They're the wise men of the forgotten age. He says, you think you guys got issues with the establishment? He says, we were the ones that originally went to the streets for peace, love, ecology, women's lib, human rights, and other crazy issues. At least we were organized, and you guys, you millennials, can't get your crap together. Meanwhile, some millennials protest on the streets, though most of them are protesting through social media. But then my boomer dad says out of the other side of his mouth, you guys protesting on social media just sound like a bunch of whiners. You're hogs being led to the slaughter by the likes of fake corrupt gurus like Zuckerberg and the corporate guys in bed with government behind Amazon and Google. But I keep telling my boomer dad, we're millennials and that's the world we were born into. You guys had email and snail mail to communicate. For us, it's social media. It's the only thing we know. Then he writes, another thing the boomers screwed up royally, the education system. We can thank our wise elder boomers for the whiny problem children with useless degrees universities are pumping out at $100,000 a crack. So the boomer generation screwed up housing and education for us. No wonder so many of us millennials are beginning to think about a plan B and how to get out of Dodge. Johnny, have you thought of this? When you boomers were young in your 20s and 30s, when housing was cheap and college educations were cheap and good, what percentage of boomers would have even have dreamed of leaving the good old USA for a so-called Latin poop hole? I bet close to zero. Because in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, pretty much every boomer had the means to buy a house, live freely and comfortably. Even if you were a janitor, you could buy a house in a decent area. In fact, today, a lot of elderly boomers who were postmen, teachers, garbage men, and janitors are sitting on properties worth well over $1 million that they paid less than $100,000 for when they were my age. It's a different world for us millennials. Unless you live in a small town, 2 hours away from some city center, you're almost forced to spend your life single and or with roommates or in your parents' basement. This system is not acceptable and why a lot of us are starting to think about a plan B. Then he says, I was reading one study that suggested a fair price for a house or apartment needs to be no higher than 3 years of an average annual salary. Using that logic, everything is way out of whack. Today, most cities in the U.S., Europe, or Asia, we're seeing people earning $25,000 to $30,000 a year, where the average house or flat costs anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million, which makes it impossible for 95% of millennials to even come up with a down payment unless they tap their boomer parents, many of whom who've already been heavily tapped for expensive college degrees that don't mean and prepare you for nothing. All of this is not normal, at least post-World War II normal in baby boomer terms. However, since Bitcoin and cryptos came along just 10 short years ago, a good many of us millennials who are in or who are getting in are on track to get our piece, the real estate pie. Yes, I for one am sure there's going to be some big upcoming financial crisis, though most of my millennial friends don't want to think about that. And when it comes, you can bet we'll be blaming it on the boomers because it can be laid right at their doorstep. Then he says that many experts believe during the upcoming financial crisis, the current middle class may simply disappear or be displaced by a new class of successful people, that is, cryptocurrency holders that never even existed before 10 years ago. I don't think it's far out to believe at all that masses of wealth will shift when this crisis comes towards new emerging assets like Bitcoin and cryptos. And as for gold, to us millennials, cryptocurrencies are our gold, although boomers like the heavy yellow stuff, and everyone loves gold jewelry and trinkets. But to us millennials, gold as a source of value or investment, that all comes from the boomer world too. I mean, look, whoever heard of carrying around a chunk of gold in your pocket to be used someday to buy things? As for us millennials, give us a Trezor or Nano Ledger crypto wallet any day of the week. You can have your gold. Try explaining your chunks of gold to immigration and TSA when you're walking or flying through borders. With crypto, all you need is a password and your 12 or 24 word seed, and you can carry your entire bank account and net worth with you on a tiny piece of paper or in your head. As for paper money, us millennials don't use much of that either. He says, everywhere we go, anything we pay for, we swipe our cards or our smartphones transfer QR codes. When it comes to paper money, many of us millennials never use the stuff. Besides that, at the moment, paper money is whatever governments say it is. They literally print new money or add more zeros to the Fed balance sheet, give it straight to preferential government contractors, lobbyists, big political contributors, connected friends and family, etc., etc. With cryptocurrencies, for example, Bitcoin, there are only 21 million Bitcoin, and no one can ever dilute your share. That's one big reason why governments and banks hate this stuff. Bottom line, Johnny, me as a millennial, and when I talk to my friends, we're all pretty much for a plan B, too. When we get together, some of us do mention that we believe the U.S. is going down. Everyone with a brain seems to know that. But if you have cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, and you can get out of Dodge or relocate, they may be the only solution that'll cushion the blow. And if you choose to stay and tough it out in the good old U.S. of A., cryptocurrencies may be the only way for us millennials to afford a nice house with a decent yard instead of living with roommates in a 500-square-foot apartment in an asphalt jungle. In fact, if you read the things and watch the YouTubes I've been seeing lately, people are saying, people in the know that is, if you have just one Bitcoin today, in a few years, you'll be set for life. Because, you see, most cryptos are like land. There's a finite limit and they're not making any more of it. Anyway, Johnny, thanks for hearing me out, a disgruntled millennial with a few of my disjointed digressions and ideas. A millennial, by the way, who's not waiting 30 or 40 years for his boomer parents to croak and pass on some kind of inheritance, which will most certainly be heavily taxed. In my case, there won't be much of an inheritance anyway because the house is double mortgaged due to the fact that my parents' three kids went to out-of-state colleges and that sort of tapped my parents dry. Then he says, Johnny, you can read any, all, or none of this on your show. Be my guest. Signed, Millennial Mike. Hey, Mike, me, Johnny. Great letter. See, there I go again, thinking like a boomer. I said letter, right? Hey, even email's going out of style, you know? I agree with Mike on most of what he has to say, though I always thought it was a huge mistake for parents to pay for their kids' university. Unless, maybe, and this is a big maybe, the kid chooses a career that's actually in demand. The fact is, I've got nothing to say to parents who say they're tapped out or broke because of the heavy price tag on that out-of-state college, and the kids generally select a major not based on what's in demand, but they follow their heart. Yeah, they follow it right to a waitress job at Starbucks. Yep, that's typical, even with the millennials in my family. 90% of them take such useful career paths like journalism, psychology, poli-sci, drama, or African-American or Native American studies. Please, if a parent's willing to pick up the tab for such useless careers in today's job market, I just have no tolerance or sympathy when they whine and complain about it. And man, when you're hanging with boomers, that seems to come up all the time. The other thing is, why do boomers have to send their kids out of state? Then you have to get them a car, an apartment, or dorm, whatever. Is that necessary or even desirable? Well, it is. If your kid gets a scholarship or a partial scholarship, then why not? But the fact is, out-of-state tuition's always a lot more expensive than in-state. But no, your little genius kid whined and said he wants to go to an out-of-state university for that life experience. Hey, you know what? As for me, I was just glad to be able to go to a university. I never went out-of-state. My parents couldn't pay for a dorm or apartment. I lived in my parents' basement and headed off for university every day, at least for my undergrad. But then again, that's the boomer in me talking, right? And as far as millennials go, that kind of talk doesn't apply. When they want something, when they whine, their parents give it to them. Though I have to admit, when I was young and still living at home, if I whined for something, I didn't get it because my parents didn't have money, but they would have given it to me if they did have the dough. So actually, today I'm thankful for the fact that my parents did not have the dough to buy me things that I wanted. I had to go out and work for them. I'll never forget when I was 16 and got my driver's license. I said to my dad, Dad, can I get a car? He said, you know what, son? Sure, you can get a car. You can get any car you want. You can get a Corvette. You can get a Ferrari. Get two. Only catch is, you got to get a job. So the question is, how many millennials, when they were in university, actually worked a job? I'm looking at some numbers on the internet. It says less than 10%. Whereas boomers, when polled with the same question, how many of you worked while you were going to university, the numbers are in the 80th percentile. You think maybe that's the key? Maybe tell your kids to go to university, but get a job too? Oh, but no, a job and school at the same time? No, that's just too much for my little genius to take on. The crazy thing is, these are the same successful boomer parents who went to college and worked at the same time and now have the lawn service and the sprinklers. But they wouldn't want their kids to go through that. It's just too tough on their delicate sensibilities. And of course, for millennials themselves, having a job and going to university would really cut into the party time. Oh, and precisely on that note, I'll never forget the phone call I got 2 or 3 years ago from my sister up in Chicago. She asked me if I could lend her $5,000. Now, she knows my views on things, and it must have been hard for her to ask me. Because when I said, what's it for, she said, I'd rather not say. Then I said, well, does it have to do with a health problem? Is it an emergency? She said, nah, not health, but it's kind of an emergency. I said, maybe I'll give it to you, but you got to tell me what it's for. It turns out her little millennial daughter was going to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a huge campus that has free public transportation for all the students to campus buildings and such, so you never really have to walk. But as it turns out, my little niece was in with a special little clique of girls who all had their own scooters, motor scooters. And my little niece begged my sister for her own scooter so she could be part of the group. You know, so she wouldn't be ostracized by the group or on social media. You know how girls can be mean. Anyway, I said to my sister, you know, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I know for a fact, scooters don't cost $5,000. You probably pick one up for a grand, brand new. Then there was a pause and she said reluctantly, it's not just any scooter. They all have those Italian Vespa scooters. They come in custom and candy colors, don't you know? I'll send you the downloads and the links if you want, she said. And you know what I said to my own sister? Pretty much what Dave said to the lady in the supermarket whose kid hadn't decided its gender yet. You, my dear sister, are part of what's wrong with society today. Oh, and note that my sister went to university. She worked her way through university, and neither of her two kids who went to private universities actually held down a job while they were going to school. That's just not part of the millennial game plan. Oh, and as a side note, both of those kids got absolutely useless degrees. Though some might say even the most ridiculous degree has some use. Well, I'd say if you spent 4 years going to debt $75,000 or $100,000 to get a degree that pays less than a garbage man's salary, well, you do the math. Though, don't use the new math. Use baby boomer math.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos. Y no Spanish lady.